Welcome back to Love Lindsay, everybody. How is everybody's week going? I hope that you are having an amazing week, an amazing day, and you're ready to sit down and have a chat with me for an hour and just have your me time. So get snuggled up, or if you're using this time to get some stuff done that you've been wanting to get done, let's do it. If you're driving, I'm in the passenger seat right next to you, and we've got a lot to talk about today. I'm excited. If you haven't yet today taken a deep breath, I want you to go ahead and do that. I'll do it with you. Relax your shoulders. Pull your shoulders down away from your ear. Unclench your jaw. All that amazing, beautiful stuff that we forget to do during the day when we're busy, when we're anxious. Just tune in to yourself and put everything that's on your mind to the wayside. We're going to have a mindfulness journey today. We're going to play this game where you focus just on me and the podcast and hanging out with me, not because I want all your attention on me, as great as that is, because oftentimes we find ourselves not mindfully listening. I'm guilty of that all the time. Like when I'm listening to my lectures on the way to school, like on my drives and stuff, I'll find myself tuning out and my mind kind of going scatterbrained. And it's just hard for us to keep our minds focused on just one thing anymore. So if you're not double tasking, which I also fully support, then, you know, hang out with me. Let's do some mindfulness exercises today. Life is going good for me. Life is going very good. I am so happy with last week's episode, the feedback I got, because I know that some of you were expecting me to talk about my party, and I recorded two episodes ahead of time because I knew after that busy royal celebration party weekend, I would not have very much energy to devote to telling you all the details. And I wanted to have full energy and I wanted to make it spectacular for you guys. So I recorded an episode about being a highly sensitive person. And if you haven't listened to it yet, spoiler alert, it's the first episode I think that I've ever recorded where I actually make myself cry. It was quite the experience to kind of be vulnerable for you guys as per usual. I'm always completely vulnerable and open and 100% candid and open and honest with you guys. Kind of just recording this podcast for me is like flying through space at a trillion miles an hour, with no safety belt, with no chair to be harnessed in. It's like that movie Contact with Jodie Foster. If you love space and alien movies, watch that movie. It's from the 90s. It's amazing. Anyway, that's what it feels like, going through a wormhole, because, and even Coconut, my parakeet, is chiming in about what this podcast is like recording. It's like flying through space a million miles an hour, not being buckled in, because I'm being so vulnerable and like open and honest, and I'm not censoring myself. So it was nice to unwrap another layer of the onion, so to speak, for you guys. But I feel like I'm not really an onion. I feel like I'm more of like a caramel apple. So, you know, melting another layer of caramel and to expose my true apple self, my juicy apple soft heart center to you guys. Living as a highly sensitive person is really tricky. It takes a long time to learn good, healthy coping mechanisms. If you're not there yet, that's okay. It took me a long time to learn. I'm still learning. If you're listening to this episode and you're like, I did not listen to the HSP, highly sensitive person episode, no worries. You've got plenty of time. You've got all the time in the world to go back and listen to it. Or if you know somebody that is a highly sensitive person and they're easily overtaken by the waves of life and waves of emotion, tune in to the episode and listen to it, because I give a lot of really good coping skills that are important for kind of living that way. And yeah, so many of you contacted me to tell me that that episode meant a lot to you. So, and especially at the end with the story that I read, that is just, it's a whole emotional thing. So check that out whenever you're ready. I signed up for my last three classes of my degree the other day. I'm so excited. I'm taking one summer class. It's online. It's about like the history of psychological theories and applications. And then I've got my two senior capstones this fall and I'm done. Also on the radar for this summer, I'm applying to grad school. I'm waiting until after this semester or the summer semester is done for my GPA to be at its absolute best, and to gather some people that I could use for recommendations. So I'm excited to go on that journey. I will be taking next winter semester off. So I'll be graduating this December, but starting next January, I will be off until next fall. I've got some trips planned. I'm going to get my Disney adult on. Oh my God. Get ready to be sick of me talking about that. I am so excited. Going to Disney is just, it's a part of my self-care. It's a part of my, you know, it's a mental health necessity for me. I'm not even kidding. We can get to that another day about just how much it helps my mental health and how my life has changed in the months and even years after a trip to Disney World or Disneyland. It's kind of crazy. And I feel like in talking about that, I can discuss the psychological aspect of going about any vacation and how to use it to like permanently boost your mental health for like weeks and months to come. So that's going to be a future episode for sure, as I'm literally writing it down now because, oh my gosh, I have been full of ideas. I'm constantly, when I'm in my car, I'm like leaving myself audio notes on everything I want to tell you guys. Like, I think I'm done with ideas for the week. And I'm like, wait, I got one more thing to tell you. Oh, hold on. Wait, no, I got one more thing to say. Or wait, no, there's one more thing I want to add. Like, it's always just like another thing that I want to tell you guys about. I literally have pages and pages of notes in my phone of stuff that I want to talk to you guys about. Like, you are my best friend, you guys. You are my best friend. I cannot tell you how much I love this. I mean, I have my group chat with my girls. I love that. Nothing can replace that because I actually have someone talking back to me. But talking to you guys and then having different people that listen to my podcast really, whether it's like someone giving me feedback because they just like binged a bunch of episodes that they've missed the last few weeks, or it's an episode that someone really resonated with and so they gave me feedback, like different people from my audience, from my Love Lindsay family, come out after different episodes, and every single time that happens, it makes my heart grow bigger. My heart is literally overflowing and just like breaking my body with, in a good way, okay, in a good way, with how much I love you guys and how much you love this podcast. Another huge, giant, groundbreaking news. And I did tell some of my friends about this or my family, and I feel like people just don't understand. And that's okay, because it's not for everybody to understand. But if there's one audience that's going to understand how huge this is, it's going to be you guys. Because I did an entire episode recently about my cardiophobia, my extreme health anxiety, and how I had been avoiding taking my blood pressure. Anytime I had gone to the doctor or any place where they wanted to take my blood pressure in the last year, I've somehow talked my way out of it. Like every time I've gone to the dentist and they want to take your blood pressure, or the primary care doctor just for like my regular visit, I have been like, unless you want me to have a panic attack, I can't do that right now. And I've always put it on the back burner, knowing someday I will get back to the girl I was prior to a year ago, where my blood pressure was always immaculate and I was never afraid to go to the doctor. But listen to that episode. It's called Fearless February. I tell the story of what happened last year. And it was just a culmination of things that came together that gave me it blasted me off the planet and into the universe of my panic disorder all over again. I am just now reaping the benefits of being out of a constant panic attack. As I talk to you guys about my trip to Florida, and just like, I'm just reveling in my panic-free life. Okay. Like, I had a tiny one last night. I've been having some like middle of the night sleep issues. Usually that's from anxiety and panic, but for the most part, I'm out of the dark. So, and I know that in another 5-10 years, probably when I am in my practicum for my grad school, or when I start my adventure in public health that I'm bound and determined to do, I'm determined to go right into the extremely scary and overpowering and 35 clients a week world of public health my first few years after grad school. I'm getting ahead of myself. I know that I'll have another point in my life where my panic disorder is flared up again, and I just have to remember that you can get through it, but it takes your body months to come down. So anyway, back to the cardiophobia thing. I've been avoiding taking my blood pressure. As you guys know, I couldn't even listen to anything that resembled a heartbeat. I've slowly been able to do that. I started to be able to enjoy like EDM, like dance music again, the last few months. Little things that remind me of a heartbeat or a heart, I've been fine with doing, because I've been forcing myself to get reacclimated with it, because nothing is wrong with me. I'm completely healthy and I take really good care of myself. So as I told you guys, my goal after, and I think one of the things that really helped me, I was telling my therapist, was recording that episode. It was an hour long of me talking through my cardiophobia and the OCD type symptoms that developed from that phobia, and how that ties into panic disorder, and how if you have panic disorder or severe anxiety, it can trigger these weird little things. And I discussed what magical thinking is and how your brain can make you think that things are true just because you thought them. And I was going to get out my blood pressure cuff and write about my feelings. Okay. And then I was going to wait a few weeks and then get the blood pressure cuff out again and open that scary sounding Velcro and maybe even put it on my arm and write about it, and then wait a few weeks and then maybe have Eddie actually take my blood pressure and not tell me the reading and then write about it. Well, I wasn't making the progress that I felt like I wanted to and needed to make with this whole thing. And I was like, I am on my, you know, healing journey, and I'm on my let's be uncomfortable to grow journey. And again, I'm not expecting a lot of you to understand how terrifying this is. But I took my blood pressure cuff to therapy with me. And I got there and I felt so silly and so kind of like dumb, but at the same time, I was really proud of myself and I wasn't expecting to do anything more than just sit there with it. I'm like, this is a safe place to bring it. I can talk about my feelings with my therapist. My therapist is so supportive. I feel like it's been, you know, 90% of my work, my hard blood, sweat, and tears that have gotten me from being housebound to now where I am now in the last 5 years since moving back to Michigan. But a big percentage of that has been this therapist and just the right fit that I found with her. She's amazing. And I knew that if there was a place I could feel safe, it was with her. Plus, she knows what it's like to have health anxiety and weird health phobia things. So brought the blood pressure cuff and we talked and we're catching up and I'm telling her about things in my life. And then she's like, so do you want to take your blood pressure while you're here? And I'm like, oh my God, do I? Do I? And I was like, yes, I do. Like I had been, there were so many times the last couple months where I would be in a really good place, feeling good. It usually would happen like when I'm driving back from school for some reason. I'd think, you know what? I'd feel all cocky. I'd be like, if there was a blood pressure cuff here right now, like as I'm driving in the car by myself, and there's no blood pressure cuff anywhere near me. No, but if there was one right here, right now, I'd totally do it. Like, I totally, like, no big deal, like, big whoop. I'd totally take my blood pressure. Like, I had been telling myself that in situations where I knew it wasn't going to happen. But still, I had gone from last year being like, absolutely the fuck not. I'm not having my blood pressure taken. I don't even want to think about having my blood pressure taken, to being like, oh, I could totally do it. So in my heart of hearts, I wanted to take my blood pressure. Yes, let's do it. And all of a sudden, she's like, okay, so why don't you get up and come over here in this chair that has more of like a straight back and take some deep breaths and get the cuff out and turn it on. And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. Oh my God. Freaking out. It's like that meme from The Office. I don't even watch that show, but it's like, I think Steve Carell is like running around like, it's happening. It's like that. All the bells and whistles in my body were going off. My heart starts, which again, because I've been working so hard, not only in the gym, on my cardiovascular, but I've been just getting through it and realizing that my heart is just doing what it's supposed to do, and that's beating. Especially in neurology lately, I've been learning about what autonomic arousal is. Arousal, that term has such a sexual connotation to it, but autonomic arousal is essentially a physiological reaction to your emotion. And physiological could mean like a heart rate increase or a blood pressure increase or a smile or a frown or a grimace or your stomach hurting, or your hands going numb. All of those things are an autonomic arousal, and that's a normal occurrence. Panic attacks and symptoms of extreme anxiety and the dizziness, the heart palpitations, the sound of your and feeling of your heart beating, the feeling of your hands going numb, your stomach starting to hurt, feeling like you're about to die. All of those things are all part of a normal process that's kind of just gone a little haywire. And the more I realized that, and the more I learned, and you guys know that I'm all about when I have a something that I am pursuing and trying to get over, like a phobia or a fear or something I'm not sure about or I'm not comfortable with it, I research the hell out of it. That's just what I do. I am a perpetual student in life. I kind of recognize and realize that this is a normal process. So I let myself feel that normal process there in my therapist's office. And even now I feel like excited about it. And I'm saying excited instead of anxious because I'm reframing that thinking. Okay, like I'm reframing my thinking of that. And I wish I had someone to tell me this a year ago or when I started feeling panic attacks in my early 20s, because especially when you're a person that has panic disorder surrounded by people that don't have it, and they're like, what do you mean? Like, whenever I feel anxious, like, I don't get that stuff. Like, I'm fine. My heart doesn't beat fast. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, ugh. I know. I get it. Not everybody experiences it, but it can feel like you're so alone. So, as a reminder, if you know someone that experiences panic disorder or has phobias, please share this podcast with them and share this podcast on your social media, because I swear, if I would have known this stuff years ago. Anyway, I'm leaving you guys in suspense. You're like, did you or did you not take your effing blood pressure, bitch? So I'm sitting there and I'm getting the cuff ready. And again, I'm not expecting all of you guys to understand. It was a huge deal for me. My heart's racing. I start going into an active panic attack. But because of the healing I've been doing, I am not running away. I didn't lay on the floor like I usually do. I'm like, I'm determined to take this blood pressure reading, knowing that it's going to be high. I know at this point that when I take this blood pressure, it's going to be high. And I know that once I take that and see that high reading, there's no turning back. And I know that it can set off a trigger, an avalanche, whatever you want to call it, a snowball effect of spiraling, like, oh my God, there really is something wrong with me. Oh my God, I'm going to have a heart attack. Oh my God, I'm going to, you know, and I'm like, there's no turning back. I need to do it. I know it's going to be high right now. I know it is. And I told her that, and she's like, yeah, it is, because you're having a panic attack right now. So it's going to be high. But she, you know, she had a plan. So take the blood pressure and I show her and she's like, do you want to see it? And I'm like, I don't know. And I show her, and then without even thinking, I just look at it. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's kind of high. It's high. So she's like, okay. So what you do is you take your blood pressure in threes. And this is something that my doctor, and I don't blame him, he doesn't have time to explain how to do this shit to people that have phobias. You take your blood pressure in threes, and you take it when you haven't ate anything, and you take it when you've been sitting and relaxing for a while, and you take it in threes, you wait a few minutes between each reading, and then you average out the three together, and then you kind of use that as a baseline. And that's for people that don't have a severe reaction and a phobia to anything cardiac related. So, okay. So we sit there, we talk for a few minutes. She comes over, she rewraps the thing to make sure I have it on correctly. She's like, it was down too low, da da da. So we're messing around with it. I feel the panic symptoms start again, and I press the button and it starts getting tighter. And I'm talking because I'm trying to distract myself. And she's like, don't talk, just sit there. Not because she wanted me to necessarily be alone with my thoughts, but because you're not supposed to talk when you take your blood pressure either. So it does it, and it's still high, but it got lower by like 15, 20 points. Okay, wow. So I've been sitting here for like 3 or 4 minutes now. The panic attack symptoms are starting to go down and starting to feel better. And she's like, she's been hospitalized for issues with her blood pressure before, so she knows a lot more about it than I do. She's like, just the very idea alone that it's gone down in a few minutes means that this is psychosomatic. She didn't say psychosomatic, but I know that it's psychosomatic. It's something, it's an autonomic response, which is a physiological reaction to an emotion. It's not anything wrong with my health, okay? It's emotional, but it's still very triggering. So I sit there and I'm like, okay, we're already almost to the third one. And I'm not feeling like I need to run to the emergency room. I'm talking to her through it. At this point, it's elevated. It's not super high. It's just elevated. And it's because I'm panicking about it. And she's like, no, you do not need to go to the doctor. I don't need to go to the hospital. I thought for sure if I took my blood pressure and it was high, I would feel like I need to go to the emergency room. And I just need to give myself more credit. So I take it one last time and it's pretty much near normal. And I was done. I wanted to sit there and keep taking it until it was my normal, regular, like 115 over 70 or whatever it is. Because my blood pressure is not only usually immaculate, it's usually like a little below whatever. So, but you're not supposed to do that. And feeding into that would be feeding into like the OCD type tendencies of it again. She's like, okay, now wait a few weeks and do it again and take it in threes and recognize that it's going to be elevated because you're panicking over it. And then, so that was my plan all along, was to keep doing that so that I can subject myself to it until it's normal for me again. I probably will always have a little bit of like a what if feeling ever since that happened last year. Again, not because there was something horrible that happened, just it was a group of things that happened all at once to cause that kind of phobia to start. So that was a really long story short. I took my blood pressure cuff to my therapist's office and I took my blood pressure. I was on cloud nine after that. I called Eddie and I was like, you won't believe what I just did. And I wasn't even planning on doing that. And I told him and he's like, and it was normal, right? And I'm like, no, it was high the first two readings because it's terrifying. But anyway, so that's my progress with that. And I am super duper proud of myself about that. I have other health related stuff that's happened since then, because if it's not one thing, it's another. And I'll tell you guys about that at some point. I'm not really ready to discuss it yet because it's probably nothing. But that's a topic for a different day. And I feel like it's all kind of like, haha, I just had a milestone birthday. And random health things happen the older you get, as we know. That's kind of a joke because I actually feel very young. But I did just have a milestone birthday and I had an epic, epic milestone birthday party. So I know a lot of you guys have been wanting me to talk about it. People that couldn't make it are like, I want to hear about the party. So without further ado, let's get into it. So last weekend, I had my royal birthday celebration. It was at the top of the Park Place Hotel, which is like the tallest. It is the tallest building here in Traverse City. And it overlooks the whole town and the bay and the lake that our house is near. And it's so, the venue is so gorgeous. I know I've talked to you guys about it before. So why don't we just start from Friday. So Friday, I knew that my family was coming into town because my mom and stepdad and my nanny and her friend were coming up the night before to help get ready. And I had a lot of studying to do. I had an exam right after my party, a neurology exam. So I had a lot of memorization to complete. The last of which I had just learned on Thursday. So I had a lot of memorization to do And I was kind of nervous, like, ooh, I hope that, because usually I like to do a little bit of a review each day. So I knew I would spend Thursday doing that, not only doing that, but taking a quiz for my statistics and research methods class. And we are in the thick of statistics right now. It feels like last semester all over again. So I did like 4 or 5 hours on my walking pad, getting all the homework done I wasn't going to have time to do over the weekend. And then we met up with my family at the Park Place. There's a restaurant on the bottom floor that we had dinner at. And after we were done eating, and by the way, I had a cocktail at dinner and I felt fine. So you guys know that I've been wanting to enjoy having a cocktail or two. I kind of started experimenting with that on my vacation because I feel like that's something I want to be able to do, is just enjoy a cocktail without it making me feel anxious. And I was able to do that. So that's amazing. After dinner, I was like, do you guys want to go to the top floor and see where the venue is? Because they hadn't seen it in person yet. So we took the elevator up, and at the top of this hotel is also a regular bar called, what is it called? The Beacon or something like that. And they always have like live music, and it was a Friday night, so they had live music, and our server was really fun, and we got more cocktails. The server brought me a German chocolate cake shot, which, cause he heard it was my birthday. And, here's one thing that I don't do. I don't feel pressured. And I think it's, at my big age, no, I don't feel pressured to take a shot just because someone gets one for me. Absolutely the fuck not. No. Oh, come on. You got to take the whole thing. It's your birthday and it's free. And I got, you know what I mean? Like, please, especially you younger people, don't ever let anyone make you feel like you have to take a shot because it was free or because it's your birthday or whatever. And I was like, I will sip it. And it was some kind of this like weird, like black magic where it's doesn't have chocolate in it, but when you drink it and then suck on this lemon that's coated in sugar, it tastes like chocolate cake. And it did. And it was super good. And we took pictures and video, and it was just such a good start to the weekend. And then we left and we came home and we watched, usually around St. Patrick's Day, we like to watch the movie The Departed. The Departed with Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon. It's about a bunch of Irish cops. And we didn't watch that this year on St. Patrick's Day. So we watched that. And then we went to bed, and it was like the night before my big party. And it felt like the night before my wedding. It was like, oh my gosh, so exciting. Got some good sleep. And then the next morning, got up, did my gratitude and my journaling. Took things slow so I could really be in the moment all day, and took a shower and started getting things packed up because we had a whole list of stuff that we had to bring. We had decorations. We had stuff for the room, all sorts of shenanigans. So I took a shower, got packed up, got my dress and everything ready, and my outfit and my three pairs of shoes that I brought. Because why not? And Eddie went to the hotel to start setting up and blowing up balloons. And because they opened the venue to us at noon to start setting up. And I went to get my makeup done by this amazing girl named Allie. And I have her tagged in my Instagram posts from after the party. I know Coconut is chiming in because she knows that my makeup was so amazing. You guys, I had an inspiration picture, and I was like, it might not look like the picture. Who knows? I might need to touch it up myself because I love doing makeup. I didn't have to do a thing. It was perfect. It was gorgeous. It took 2 hours to beat my face to perfection, and it was absolute perfection. So I felt like, I truly felt like a queen after that. I was like, okay, I'm ready for tonight. So I stopped at home. I said goodbye to Coconut and Bean. And I had the little camera set up so I can check in on them because I'm obsessed with my pets. I said goodbye to the chickens. And then we went to the hotel. And Eddie had already been there and checked into our presidential suite, which is like the nicest, biggest suite at the hotel. You guys, it was incredible. It had like a living room, like a formal dining room table with a chandelier above it. It had like, it was crazy. And then it had its own separate bedroom. And there were two like French doors leading out to the balcony from the bedroom and leading out to a balcony from the living room / dining room. It was incredible. It was like, I can't believe that I got to stay at two amazing hotel rooms in 1 month. Like, believe me. Today is April 1st, and this is not an April Fool's joke, we are going on a no-spend April because, my God. Anyway, it was so gorgeous. I laid out my stuff, and then I went up to see the venue. All the tables were set up. My parents and my nanny had already been there. And at every single table, there were tons of fresh flowers. You guys, still, my dining room table is covered in fresh flowers. They're still all alive a week later and like flourishing. Tons of roses and baby breath. And just dozens and dozens of flowers and candles everywhere. Flowers and candles everywhere, and tons of pink balloons. There is a projector in the middle of the room, and then a place where I'd put my computer for my ultimate playlist. There were the tables set up for the food and the cakes. Eddie went and picked up our two cakes from Potter's Bakery, and then we got two because more people came than we ever dreamt would come to celebrate with us. And it was like such a surprise. So we were scrambling to get more food. The door had already closed as far as like getting more food. Like I just did not think that 40 people would come to my 40th birthday. I was like, you know, I've only lived in Traverse City for 5 years, you know, and only a couple people really are coming from out of town that are from like my life before Traverse City. And that was family members. And then one of my best friend from like high school, college. How many people could I really have met that would want to come celebrate with me in 5 years? Apparently 40 people. What? So we were scrambling. We went to Les Macaron. In Traverse City here and ordered two macaron towers. So I'm just like, we need to get some like at least more dessert, because if we can't get more food, then we need to get more dessert. So anyway, he had already done that. The cakes and the food were there in the cooler off of the little banquet room, and the weather, you guys, was perfect. It's officially spring, but here in northern Michigan, it is still very much winter. And I was like, oh my gosh, it might be overcast. It might be snowing. It might be dark, because a lot of winter days are like that, and that's okay. It was mostly clear. It was just partly cloudy. And there was a full moon up the whole afternoon and evening. Yeah. Yeah. It was that magical. It was going to be an amazing sunset. And we're at the top of this amazing hotel that's got floor-to-ceiling windows. It's a pretty big space for like a birthday party. So anyway, I was like, oh my God, it looks so good. But it was time for me to get my hair done. So we met this lovely girl named Tori, who I contacted to do my hair. And when we first started planning this, I was going to get a cute dress and all that, but I'm like, you know, I'll do my own hair and makeup because it's just a birthday party. But the bigger it got and the more my mom and nanny wanted to go all out and really decorate and make it beautiful and a big deal, and the more other people were getting excited about it and the more I found out people are coming, I'm like, damn, I don't want to put all that pressure on me to, you know, you ever have those days where like your hair just doesn't look right or like you can't get your eyeliner right or whatever. I was like, I don't feel like putting that pressure on myself. I'm going to have my hair and makeup done so that I can just feel pretty and not worry about it, just like a wedding. So why not? So she came and she did my hair and I felt like a queen and it looked so pretty. She made it, as you guys know, I have, or maybe not, I have really long extensions, and she did this amazing like half up, half down do that I really wanted, that I sent her inspo pics for, and she did it so perfect with really cute bangs and a cute, I brought a little pink ribbon for the back because my whole look was like pink, coquette, girly ribbon, ballerina, all the above. And then at this point, some of my family were coming in, and so it was time to put my dress on, and I had a lovely pink dress that had like a corseted top, like body top part that was, had the ribbons in the back to like cinch it. And then the bottom was like, had the tulle underneath to make it like a petticoat to like make it poof out, but it was still came like above my knee. And then I have these amazing shoes that are high heels, but they are like ballet slippers. They look like toe shoes, but they're high heels. Like they've got the little bow above the toes, and then they've got the crisscross ribbons that go across your feet and then around your ankle and your leg. So I put those on. I had a replica Marie Antoinette necklace made and ordered from Etsy. If you guys want the link to that, let me know. It's a replica necklace, and it's not like replica as in like it's actual real like precious stones. No, it's like a costume jewelry version of a real necklace that Marie Antoinette had that's still around today. I had that made. It's pink, sparkly stones all the way around my neck. I had a purse that the strap was like a giant bow. And then I had my toe shoes I told you guys about, but then I had two pairs of like slip-ons for after, like when my feet would start to get hurt. Cause at this point I thought there would be some dancing. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I was starting to get anxious for it to start. Like we went upstairs for like last minute stuff before it's supposed to start. And, it wasn't going to be like a thing where everybody gets there at 6. Like the starting time was 6, but like knowing, I know like a lot of my friends and family, like people just in general, like they're not going to get there right at 6, and that's fine. But I wanted to make sure it was all set up. So everything looked amazing. I had the Marie Antoinette movie by Sofia Coppola playing on the projector, not with the sound, but just on the projector, just as like eye candy to set the mood. And there was a digital frame playing a slideshow that my mom and I had been working on for the last few months called like 40 Years of Lindsay Lumis. And it had pictures of me from like being a baby up until now. And it was so cool. There were like big baskets of like party favor. My mom, oh my gosh, not only did she design the invitations, she designed the thank you cards that I worked on over the weekend. They all had the same theme and like logo, and like, cause she's the queen of everything, the queen of branding, the queen of graphics. She does everything that I want to look good. She will do it. Like she does the designing stuff for our business and our logo and our advertising. She's so talented, and just everything was so themed out. We had this game where you walk in and then someone puts a sticker on your back and it's a king or a queen, and you have to guess which one you are. Some of them are actually king and queen. Some of them would be like Queen the Band or Queen of Disco, Donna Summer, or, you know, things like that. Or like Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, which actually that person did come to my party. Another one was like the Burger King, like just you had to guess which royal person you were. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So last finishing touches, I had my playlist, which was all girly dance music. So perfect. I've been perfecting this playlist since November of last year. So like going through it sometimes when I'm just laying on the couch at night, we're watching TV and I'm like going through it. I'm like, is this song absolutely perfect? No, it's not. Taking it away. And then like when I'd find another one, I'd add it. And then I'd go through it again, like a week or two later and be like, is every single song in here perfect? Yeah. It's called, the playlist is called We're All Queens. And if you want the playlist, I can send it to you. It's, the vibes are immaculate. So, and then we had Kaffee, who is from Higher Self, where I go for like my tarot. And that's where I met Tara, my psychic, here in Traverse City. So she came and she was our tarot card reader for the night. So she was there to read tarot. Everything was set up. So I went back down to the room and I waited and I was like, ask my girlfriends, like, are you going to be here before six? Cause I'm so antsy, you guys. Like, I'm like ready. I have a little champagne flute. I was eating some grapes because we're not doing keto for the weekend. We're going to enjoy ourselves and we're going to eat. We're going to eat cake. We're going to eat grapes. That was like something I specifically requested for the room was grapes because it's just, I don't know. It feels like a luxurious thing to eat and they're so yummy. And, so one of my girlfriends got there with her husband and I'm like waiting. And I'm like, okay, it's 6 o'clock. We're taking pictures. We're taking pictures out on the balcony of our suite. And then it's time to go up. So we go up and I know that like not everybody's there yet, but it's still, it's like 6 o'clock. It's time for me to make an entrance. And I just walk in and I immediately feel overwhelmed with happiness and tearing up and everything's perfect. And I'm just telling Eddie how perfect everything is. And I don't know who to hug first. You know, when you walk in, you're just like, who do I start walking towards to hug? Like everyone's there, like looking at you. And it was spectacular. So immediately I'm there, I'm catching up with people that I haven't seen in months or even like a year or what, or years. And I'm there ready to start greeting people. They had the food put out. We also had a cash bar, but we bought like 4 or 5 gallons of a really yummy fruity champagne punch. So you could drink that for free if you wanted, or you could buy like a different cocktail if you wanted something else to drink. So I got a champagne punch. I had my big water jug thing, because I just wanted to stay hydrated and I give zero fucks if it doesn't go with the theme. I got my big water thing. There was like a coat area by the bathrooms for people to put their coat and people started showing up and having the sticker placed on their back so they could guess who they were. We had a GoPro. Eddie and I have 2 GoPros. So we had 1 GoPro going, taking a time lapse of the whole night. And then Eddie had the other GoPro and he was going around recording people saying happy birthday to me. And I just was trying to go around to everyone and make sure everyone felt like royalty for the night. That's what I wanted. And I specifically did not dress up like a queen or a king because my goal, and this is something I kind of hinted at in previous episodes, my goal was to have everybody else feel like royalty for the night. You know, usually it's like, oh, it's the birthday queen. And like everyone else is just there. I wanted everyone else to feel like a queen or a king for the night. And so I purposely did not wear or bring a crown. And a lot of people came with crowns. They came fully dressed up. I had Casey, who I've talked to you guys before. She probably won like costume of the evening. She came dressed as the Queen of Hearts. We had all sorts of tiaras, costumes, you name it. We had it. Just so many great ideas. And then some people aren't comfortable dressing up, and fine with me. I don't care. Come as you are. Like, I just wanted everyone to have fun. We had salmon and kraut, like salmon on crackers. We had a big like hummus board, a cheese and cracker platter. We had firecracker chicken, bread. Again, we ended up having more people than I ever dreamt of. Like, when we started doing this and sending out invitations, I was like, we'll probably have like 20 people. And that's okay, because that is still a shit ton of people for a birthday party. Seeing as how last year for my birthday, I just went out on St. Patrick's night to Barrio for tacos and margaritas with Eddie, Fran, and Sienna. The year before that, we rented out a movie theater and three people came. You know, like, this is not something that happens for me or to me every year. I never in my wildest dreams thought that 40 people would come to celebrate. So I tried to get around and like hang out and talk to people more that I don't see every day. And I just, as much as I wanted to take time out sometimes and like hang out and back and just watch everything, I also wanted to take full advantage of having all these people here. It was truly, this was a bigger event than our wedding. Like, more people. I think we had 30 people at our wedding and we had 40 people at this party. Eddie and I felt like once we started really planning it and realizing how big it was going to be, we felt like this was just celebrating everybody, not just me, but celebrating life together. And that's what I wanted out of the night. And I think that's exactly what I got. So I'm eating a little bit. I'm having my champagne punch. Everyone's getting drinks. It's starting to get loud in there. The music's good. Turn up the music. The bartender we had was amazing. Shout out to him. I think his name is Jacob. The people working the event were awesome, going around clearing plates and setting out more food. And, I had a macaron and I'm like, oh my God, so yummy, so good, full sugar. this is just beyond my wildest dreams. Amazing. Everyone looked so gorgeous. We're all taking hundreds of pictures. My mom put a QR code on the stuff on the tables so that you could scan it and then add your own pictures and then like also access it to get pictures from the party if you wanted to, and videos. So we had that. We had the game going. People are winning prizes. There's going to be poker going on later. Everyone is loving Kaffee, the tarot card reader. People are like tearing up because her readings are so good. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to get a reading so bad. But at the same time, I felt like I needed to flitter around like a butterfly. So I'm definitely going to be going back to Kaffee to get a reading. Maybe my era of having just one designated psychic is over. I'm going to go to her. So it's just incredible. It's so incredible. And I'm like, okay, are we going to start poker soon? Or are we going to dance? And then I'm kind of realizing there's not really a whole lot of area to dance, and that's fine. But the music is still good. And we're like, okay, so we're getting to the point where we need to think about cake. Like, the sunset was, it was the best golden hour ever. The pictures that my besties and I were taking during golden hour were so good. If you have not looked, look on my Instagram. I think I even actually posted some stuff to Facebook. You guys know that I cannot stand Facebook. And I just have my my podcast software directly post to Facebook. And the only thing you'll see on Facebook for me is podcasts and blog posts, and that's because the software posts it there to me, so I don't actually have to log into Facebook myself. I think I actually posted some pictures to Facebook because I know a lot of people that were at the party are Facebook people. So anyway, check those out. The sunset was so beautiful. And it's time to start thinking about cutting the cake and doing like candles. And I had some really pretty rose gold candles, a 4 and a 0. And we start gathering over there, and it's hard to get everyone's attention. And I'm like feeling so, I don't know if awkward's the word, but I'm like, oh my God, all eyes are on me. All eyes are on me. Like, what do I do? And I'm just like wringing my hands. I had these beautiful sheer pink gloves on that went up to my elbow. And they had little bows on them. So I'm there just like smiling at people and like, I don't know what to do. And I feel like I'm going to cry, like a happy cry. And so Eddie like turns the music off and standing there and people are gathering. And I swear, felt like I was standing there for an hour waiting for people to sing. Just because I was like, oh my God, all eyes are on me and this is crazy. And it was like, I'm trying to like live in the moment, but also having like an out of body experience because it was just like, whoa, this is nuts in a good way. So everybody sings and I'm like, okay, we really are out of COVID because I'm about to blow on this cake and then serve it to everybody. It was just 2 candles, but I remember thinking that for a second and I was like, do I do this? I'm like, yes, I do. If people don't want the cake, they don't have to. There's macarons that I did not blow on. So there you go. We cut the first cake. How do I put into words? How do I put into words? I'm not even a cake person. Cake is okay. It actually took me until my like 30s to even like frosting. It used to be I didn't even like fluffy frosting. I would just like, you know, funfetti frosting, like the thin stuff. Definitely not fondant. This was not fondant though. This was a 2-layer cake with buttercream frosting in the middle and on top. There were pink bows all around the cake. Of course, the top of the cake said, let them eat cake because, you know, even though you guys know that I know my history, you guys know that I am well-versed in the French Revolution, and I know that Marie Antoinette never said, let them eat cake. That was actually a previous French queen, just attributed to Marie Antoinette during the French Revolution. Anyway, I digress. It was so good. It was like super, imagine you take like a regular, degular cake and then you condense it down and put like 3 or 4 other layers of like very condensed, yummy cake in it. That's how like we could cut it into super thin pieces and it just stayed in that thin slice. What? Are you kidding? If you're not into cake, then that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but I'm not even that big into cake. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Granted, like I don't eat full sugar or anything. If I have any candy or like, I don't eat cookies. I don't eat cake. I don't eat ice cream because I'm on my like, you know, my sugar-free lifestyle. All I have is 80% super dark chocolate and then some like Quest brand peanut butter cup things. Anyway, so I enjoyed the shit out of that cake. Okay. It was so delicious. And my nanny did an amazing job of cutting it. So everyone got a piece and we magically had like a third or a quarter of the second cake left to bring home with us, which was super naughty, but I'm like, no, I'm bringing this cake home. So we're all eating cake. And then I feel like at that point it's like 9 And if I were an attendant at a birthday party, I'd be like, damn, it is literally my bedtime right now. So I'm going to go. And I know that a lot of my friends, my current friends I have now, I'm not in my party era. Okay. And a lot of my friends I have now, my closest friends, they're not partiers. We're early to bed girlies. Most of us are pretty much sober. But I also know that there are some people in my life that like to stay up late. And then there are people from my past life that still love to hang out late and celebrate. And that's quite all right. We are prepared for that because the night is just getting started. I feel like that's a good place to stop. And I think I'll just talk about the rest of the night on next week's episode, along with next week's topics. So stay tuned for that. I just feel like it's a good stopping point. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that talking with me today and listening is inspiring you to live your best life, to all the things that we always talk about every week, right? Like, go out of your comfort zone, keep working hard. Even if you have a bad few days, like that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm very low energy. It's been quite a month. March was quite a month for me. So I'm just hanging and I'm sticking to my core things, which is eating really good, going to the gym, studying my ass off, and I'm sticking to that. So I just want to inspire you guys to live your best life. Like, I want to know, are you living the life of your dreams? And if you're not, make a plan. Create an action plan. Like, what would you change or improve if you are living the life of your dreams? Manifest it by doing it. And I always say that manifesting is just a frou-frou word for just getting shit done. Like, manifesting means I'm actually acting it out. I'm actually doing it. So go forth and conquer and stay in that royal state of mind for the week so that you're ready to hear about the rest of the night next week, because like I said, the night is just beginning. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you guys back here next Wednesday for another episode of Love, Lindsay.